the hearts of those who love him. It is joy that brings us here today. If you're able, would you stand and join in our call to worship? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Verses 1 and 3.
It's number 7 here.
God is good, and all the time. We want to greet you this morning. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And if you're with us for the first time, and we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today, you'll find those cards right beside the prayer cards on the back of the pew in front of you. If you have any prayer needs, we encourage you to fill that out as well, and you can share that with a team of folks who would be praying for you and lifting you up to the Lord. We want to begin worship today by celebrating what God did last Sunday when the church has left the building. If you were there last Sunday, just show your hand and testify to that. It was wonderful to see so many of our folks willing to get out, not only of the building, but out of our comfort zones, amen, and to get out in the weather, which was not as it should have been. But it was as it was, and I think the Lord taught us a number of lessons. We were able to connect with a few families who did brave the weather and were in the park. We were able to connect with each other in different ways, especially in Bible study, to have all the different generations together in one place, to have so many people who do not ordinarily come together to study God's Word together, to be there under one roof. It was a joy to see the fellowship around hot dogs and to see people interacting with each other and to see the little children playing and having a good time. And the big children, too. Face painted and all. Balloon crowns and all. Right, Laura?
That's right.
But most of all, I celebrate in what the Lord taught us. I think God's message was, you can do this. You can connect with your community in ways outside of the building. You can be present in the world and in your community. You can connect with lives that you would have never met or encountered if we had simply stayed in our pews. And I celebrate that. And I pray and ask you to join us in prayer as we continue to seek God's vision. The now what, as we said in our newsletter. Now where will God lead us? Now what will God call us to do? Now who will God call us to be? We celebrate that. As we come together to worship today, we ask a question that I think is very relevant to what we did in the park last Sunday. The question is, do our lives matter? Are we making a difference in this world? Do our lives, or do they not, bear fruit? Would you continue to wrestle with that question as we worship?
Amen.
Our opening scripture reading is from Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, as we come into this place this day, into your house this day, and every day we worship and praise your name. As we gather as a church family here, enjoy recognizing the gifts and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, specifically the blessing of this day, of this opportunity, of this time to worship and praise you. We give you thanks. We lift up that joy to you in song, in word, in deed, and may we carry that forward from this place. Father God, may we gather in the warmth of this joy this day. We lift this name to your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, our song of praise is one of our favorites. Yeah, come on up here. From last week's service. So please join us on the chorus and on the verses too, if you know it. For love has come. Please stand.
Well, I know this life is filled with sorrow, and there are days when the pain just lasts and lasts. But I know there will come a day when all our tears are washed away, with a break in the clouds, with glory coming down. In that moment,
every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love. Love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love. And love has come for us all.
For anybody who has ever lost a loved one, and you feel like you had to let go too soon, I know it hurts to say goodbye, but don't you know it's just a matter of time till the tears are gonna end. You'll see them once again, and in that moment,
every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love. Love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love. Love has come for us all. Oh, and on that day, we will stand amazed at our Savior, God and King, just to see the face of amazing grace as our hearts rise up and sing.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you for the cross. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Christ has paid the cost. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you for the cross. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Christ has paid the cost. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love, and love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love, and love has come for us all. God is love, and love has come for us all. God is love, love has come for us all. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love, and love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love, love has come for us all.
Amen. Please be seated.
As we come to the time of commissioning for our youth mission trip this summer to Steubenville, Ohio, I just want to first by saying thank you for your support last night at Uncle Phil's Diner. The youth had a great time, and we were just greatly appreciative of your support. Through last evening, we were able to raise over $1,300 for our mission trip, so we're getting a little bit closer to our goal. And again, thank you again for your presence and your prayers as the youth prepared, and as you enjoyed some 50s food and fun last night. If you haven't seen it, just walk through the fellowship hall. There's still some decorations lying around to check out what took place last night. But now today, we come to a time where we want to set aside those youth and those adult chaperones who will be going this summer, July 19th through the 25th, to Steubenville, Ohio, for our mission trip. Churches said from the very earliest time that it was set people aside to go and do the work of the church. And in this case, this summer, you have 31 representatives that are representing you, First Baptist Church of Elon, that will be traveling on July 19th up north to Steubenville, Ohio, which is right on the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania, to work in a small community that has been devastated by the pullout of the steel industry up north. So I ask that you keep this town, Steubenville, Ohio, in your prayers. I ask that you keep this ministry team, these missionaries that are being set aside today for this, and continue to keep us in prayer as we move closer to the time of the trip and on our service that we'll provide there in Ohio. At this time, I am going to identify the team members for the 2015 mission trip to Ohio, our Ohio missions team. And as I do, I'm going to ask that the youth and adults, if y'all would stand and then come down front and stand down front on the ground up here to show the church, show First Baptist Church of Elon who will be representing them in Ohio this summer. Julia Allison. Abigail Allred. Michael Allred. Olivia Allred. Sophia Allred. Daniel Coble. Andrew Evans. Emily Evans. Catherine Farnham. David Farnham. John Farnham. Sally Farnham. Mandy Fitz. Joshua Harris. Garrett Howard. Savannah Howard. Ryan Henry. Alex Laporta. Christina Lupo. Savannah Lupo. Andrew McKee. Maddie Ann McKee. Mary Allison Page. Emily Pritchard. Jacob Pritchard. Ethan Reinheimer, Patrick Roof, Claire Thompson, Lisa Thompson, Phil Thompson, and myself. First Baptist Elon, these are the missionaries that you'll be sending out to Ohio in July. These are the individuals that will be going in your name, in the name of not only First Baptist Church of Elon, but in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will be serving with their hands, with their feet, with their mouths, with their sweat, and hopefully no blood, but you never know. But they will be serving you, and they'll be serving God in the coming week in July. Our team, as we have met over the past couple months in preparing for this trip and growing together as a team, put together a team covenant. It's in the form of a prayer that we would like to read to you this morning. Each of our team members have signed this, representing this is who they are, what they are committing to. And I have asked that a church representative, I asked Mason, as senior pastor, if he would come forward and sign it after I get done reading the words. These are the words that this team put together for our mission trip this summer. Father God, as we prepare as a team for our mission trip to Steubenville, Ohio, we ask for your wisdom and guidance as we face the task before us. We are excited to go to Steubenville while also nervous. Please give us the peace that only you can provide. Father, we know that you will surround us with love and protection as we travel to Ohio. Remember our drivers. Keep them safe and focused on the long trip before us. Please be with the other youth groups that will be serving with us. May they be friendly and devoted to the work that we will accomplish together. We ask that the new relationships that we will develop with these youth groups last beyond the week that we are there. May our combined desire and dedication to share Christ's love with all that we encounter be the source of these lifelong friendships. May the bonds that we share with our youth members be strengthened as we serve and have fun. For some, this mission experience will be their first opportunity to serve God in a different setting. We ask that these youth have the confidence they need when questions arise. We also ask that our experienced team members serve as guides in these times of question. May we open our ears up to each other and to you as we seek to do your will. May this experience allow us to grow closer together as a family and to grow closer to you. Father, we know that you are already preparing Steubenville for the work that you will do through us. May the community open their arms for our group as we serve them, and we know if one person is touched by your love, then our trip is worthwhile. May you bless the other youth groups that will travel to Steubenville before us in their service to this community. May the differences that might exist not divide us, but draw us together. As our youth works leaders serve with other youth groups in ministering to the city of Steubenville, we ask that their lives be a model for us in our work and service. May their leadership and organization provide guidance and a peace of mind for our group. We hope that their maturity in Christ and eagerness to serve you will be contagious to our group. Give them the wisdom to face challenges as they arise, to remain flexible through this experience, and to enjoy every moment of this mission experience. Father, we cannot do this without you. Our fears have already risen, and without you, they will definitely overwhelm us. Allow us to get past our expectations of this trip that we compare to past trips. Steubenville is a long way from home, but may your presence be our comfort. Give us the ability to communicate with each other, preventing any conflicts. When conflicts do arise, may we handle them with compassion and quickness. Father, while we travel to Ohio with many hopes and dreams and even questions, we know that our loving church family will be lifting us up in prayer. We hope this experience will be fun, fulfilling, and a time of growth for each one of us. Give us the ability to see the doors that will open, seeing Christ in those we serve and serve alongside, all striving to be the hands and feet of Christ. May we see how you have blessed us and how we can bless others. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Mason, I'll ask if you'll come forward and sign it.
David asked if I would lead us in a time of prayer to commission these faithful souls on their journey. I cannot help but celebrate with you and remember the first mission trip I ever went on, and that realization that this entire congregation is supporting you, that they are entrusting you with this awesome responsibility, that you will have the time of your lives and a life-changing time. And we celebrate that with you. I want to ask if the youth and adults who are going on the trip would just sort of make your way around the room, spread out as much as you can, some on this side here, some along the back. And if this group, y'all would go back on that side, and then some down this way. Some of you can stay here at the front. Or not. They're just so ready to go. And I ask those members of this congregation and visitors who are with us, if you would just stand and gather around one of those who are going on this trip, and we'll have a time of prayer, but also the laying on of hands, which is a Christian symbol that recognizes that the Spirit of the Lord goes with you. And if you can't reach somebody directly, reach somebody who's reaching them. And if I really wanted to mess with you, I would say, when you go back to your seat, sit somewhere different. But I won't do that. I won't do that. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is you who send us out, who gave us that great challenge through your Son, Jesus Christ, when he said, go into all the world. We send, Lord, our youth leaders, and the parents to this corner of the world called Steubenville, Ohio. We send them fully trusting that it is you who goes with them, it is you who has gone ahead of them, and it is you who will continue to work in that community long after this group is gone. We pray for your protection as they travel and as they minister. We pray, Lord, most of all, that the work they do would be a work that you have given them, that you have equipped them for, that it would be the work of love, a work that would bear much fruit. We pray, Lord, that they would abide in you throughout this trip and throughout their lives, that lasting impacts would be made not only in the ministry community, but in the community of those who minister, that you would change their lives, that you would continue to shape and mold their minds, that you would use this mission trip, Lord, not only for the benefit of that community, but to be a source of transformation here at First Baptist Elon, that this would be the enduring mission field, and that those who go would come back with renewed energy and creative thinking about how we as a congregation can be on mission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may all be seated.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It's number 208 in your hymnal. We'll just sing the first verse. Please stand.
Let us pray. Father, as we come to this time of offering, as we come to this time of the service where we return a portion of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, May we be reminded that it's not just what we place in the offering plate as it's passed by, but it's also the service that we provide with our words, with our actions, with our minds. Not just here in this worship service, but in the world in which you have created and you have called us into. Father God, we lift this offering to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Join me in our pastoral prayer and confession. O Lord, we have sung and celebrated this word, love. It's a word you teach us, a word you showed us in your Son, Jesus the Christ, who was love and through love gave his life. For he loved the whole world as you love the whole world. And Lord, we call on the promises of that love, that you are a God who is with us, for us, that you are a God who comforts us and strengthens us. And many of us here, O Lord, today are in need of your comfort and your strength.
As well, Lord, there are many who are not with us, who are at home or in the hospital even now, or in a nursing home or retirement community, and they cannot be here. Our heart's desire is that they would experience your love profoundly today. And we pray, Lord, that our love would spur us into action to be with those who need you and who are alone, to be with those who are broken and hurting, and to be with this nation, O Lord, on mission to make it right and better, that hurts would be healed, wrongs would be made right, peace would come on earth as it is in heaven. This is our prayer. And forgive us, Lord, when we are standing on the wrong side of justice and righteousness, and turn our heads around, for you are the God of redemption and repentance, and for that we give you thanks. In Christ's holy name, amen. Our second reading comes today from 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. God's word for God's people. Amen.
Was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He placed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turning,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will answer.
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer returning,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by. Feel a little prayer returning,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
That was real good. Real good.
Today, I bring you something different. No funny stories or anecdotes or heartwarming tales. No jokes. Just the challenge of one single and powerful verse of Scripture, John 15:5. In it, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in that person, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is an extreme word from Jesus. I do not wish to preach that word out of context. And so what I would have us do today, this morning, is to look at its home in chapter 15. And to see what is the case that Jesus is making in that verse. What is the power and the punch of that verse in light of his sermon in full? And Jesus is wrestling to get us to think differently about accomplishment, to think differently about effectiveness, to think differently about what ministry is and what life is, and what it means to abide in God. In verse 1 of that chapter, chapter 15, verse 1, he begins by making the case. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. The point that Jesus is expressing is that there are many competing voices in his world. We often think about Judaism as a singular thing, a singular movement in the life and times of Jesus. But in fact, we know that it was more complex, that it was a system of competing voices. Some of that we've got a glimpse of in Scripture. Pharisees, they're not fair, you see. Sadducees, they're so sad, you see. You had the scribes, and you had the temple system, the cult system of priests and religious leaders. You had the royal branch that was involved in that, wound up, of course, in the politic of empire. And then you also had the zealots, these revolutionary-minded people who sought a Messiah who would throw off the Roman government, who would launch rebellion and spark war and overthrow Rome. You had the Essenes, this quiet little weird community out there by the shores of the Dead Sea. They're the ones responsible for the famous Qumran scrolls. These folks were all about asceticism, denying the self, giving up food and pleasure, and just focusing their lives on the reading, the studying of God's word, worship, and communal meals. And all of these voices had right things to say and wrong things to say. And all these voices were speaking within the context of a pluralistic world of gods and goddesses and temples and systems of theology that were foreign and familiar. Every one of those voices, by the way, not unlike the voices we hear today, all insisted on being the true voice, the right way, the best answer. It is no different, is it, today? How many voices are you hearing in your head? Now, I'm not talking about the kind where you might need to talk to me later on or seek advanced counseling, but how many voices are there in the average person's brain? Voices telling us, this is right and this is wrong. This is true and this is false. This is right and this is righter. And in the midst of all of those, there is this unassuming, quiet, straightforward voice of Jesus. And Jesus simply says, I am the true vine. As I've been working in my new yard, there are a lot of vines growing back there. I know there's grapevine. I know that there's wisteria, which I hate with a passion. And it hates me back, I believe. There are darker vines back there. I know there's poison ivy, which if I even look at it, I will break out. And there are other vines that I am unfamiliar with. And so it is important to know one vine from the other as you're gardening, all the more so in this life. We have to be able to sift through the vines, the voices of our world, and discern which one of these is the voice of Jesus. How do you know? How do you make sense of it? And he, in verse 2, continues by saying, He, that is the Father, removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. I find in this an incredible challenge that even when we begin to discern the right voice, the one true voice, even when we convert hallelujah, we still ain't right. There was a children's song that I remember from a kid listening to that record scratch and whine, and we would play it over and over again in Sunday school. He's still working on me. Did you remember that one? And I don't remember the song, but I remember this one line. Maybe the paint is still wet. Jesus says, one thing, step one, discern the true vine and listen to that vine. Become a part of that vine, but then know that there is still much to be done. One of the greatest sins of the church, of church people, is to say, I'm done. I'm fixed. I'm right. I'm holy. I'm righteous. But he says that the true disciple allows themselves to be pruned every now and then. Now think about that. Think about that very realistically. To say that we are willing to be pruned, that we are willing to allow God to fix this little part or that little part of our lives and our thinking is to confess what? To confess that we might be wrong about some stuff. We might have thought about something wrongly. And we might need to change the way we think, or the way we act, or the way we interact with the world. Jesus goes on to teach us, saying in verse 4 or verse 3, You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide is a fascinating choice of word for Jesus. I mean, he is the great wordsmith. Abiding with someone is to live with, to be entrenched in the life of someone else, to be intermixed and intertwined in an inseparable kind of way. And he says, abide in me. Abide in me. And unless you're abiding in me, you're getting it wrong. So what is it to abide in Jesus? Our first John passage has already told us, hasn't it? Someone just say that word that was so profound in that first John passage. What is it to abide in God? Is to abide in love. God is love. And to abide in love is to abide in God. God is love. I try to wrap my brain around those kinds of definitions sometimes, because the author of 1 John could choose any word in his language to describe who is God, what is God, what's God about, and the word that comes to his mind is love. Here's an area, church folks, where we get it wrong the most. Where we think to abide in God is a system of beliefs. Or we think to abide in God is some ritualistic act or acts. Or to abide in God is about attendance or lack of attendance. That we think abiding in God is about what we watch or what we don't watch or what we listen to or don't listen to. We think that to abide in God is to push some aside and welcome only just a few. We think abide is a lot of things, but how often do we hear it said that to abide in the presence of God is to love other people, to love them, to just open our hearts to the other human being in front of us, and to love them deeply. One of my former professors, Barbara Brown Taylor, used to say often in class that the older she gets, the less her faith becomes about the nouns and the more it becomes about the verbs. When I think of nouns, I think of creeds and doctrine. I think of laws and systems of belief. But when I think about the verbs, I think, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because love is not a system of belief, but a way of acting and being in the world. Abide in me. And then there's this verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me you can do nothing. He goes on in verse 6. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Wow. I have seen with my own two little eyes churches and ministries and organizations that forgot how to love. And you see them withering and dying and turning on one another and resisting the temptation to name names, but we've seen whole denominations that forgot what it was to love. And all they can do is fight over the nouns and the rules and the expectations and the laws and who is conservative enough to be in our club. And such groups wither, and they might just die. Stanley Hauerwas has been named the premier ethicist of our time. And I was sitting with a small group of Baptists at Duke Divinity School one night, and Stanley Hauerwas was talking about Baptists, and he has this long history of calling us out on things. And he made this statement that really gave a chill to me. He said, if Baptists have a future, and I doubt that they do, they're going to have to learn how to love each other. If Baptists have a future, and I doubt that they do, they're going to have to learn to love. Jesus says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. He's leading us in a thought process, Jesus is. He's taking us one step at a time, and the culmination is to say that if you love, and you have love, and you live in love, and you abide in God in this way of love, ask for anything you want. What does he mean by that? Because I could ask for a new car. I could ask for a whole lot of things that I might want. He says, ask for anything and you'll get it. Well, he didn't start there. He started with being attached to the vine of God, having the mind of God, loving as God loves. And if we live our lives that way, what do you want? You want what God wants. You desire the thing that God desires. It's the same thing Jesus said when he was saying, ask for anything in my name and it will come to pass. You will have it. He didn't mean that if you just recite this magic incantation at the end of your prayer where you say, and in Jesus' name I pray, that means I'm going to get it all, right? Amen. That's not what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It means to pray in the way of Jesus, in the mind of Jesus, to pray for the things that Jesus desires and seeks. And you know what? If you ask God for what God wants already, guess what will happen? It's going to happen. And so loving changes us in such a way that we begin to see the world as God sees it and want the things that God wants. And in the context of that, in the context of that thought process, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in that person, they will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That means, my friends, that the whole idea of effectiveness and success in life has been turned on its head. And now Jesus is suggesting to us that it doesn't matter if you have the biggest church. It doesn't matter if you work your way up to the top of the corporate ladder. It doesn't matter how much green you are making. It doesn't matter how successful you are in the world's eyes. It doesn't matter how big your Sunday school class is growing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter any of that. Doesn't matter if it is not dictated and governed by love. It's nothing. And we are nothing. Just nothing's doing nothing. And yet, if we remain in Christ, abiding in that love, we will bear much fruit. In other words, the world will change. Our families will change. Our friendships will change. Our communities will be transformed if we are abiding in that spirit of love. So I'll leave you with that simple question that the title of the sermon asks: is your life bearing fruit? Are you mattering to the world? Are you making a difference in the world? Does your life change the lives of other people? You know, Sundays come and Sundays go. And many of us will walk away from a service like this thinking a lot of things and asking a lot of questions. We might think, that was real nice to see all those young folks up there going on a trip. We might walk away thinking, you know, that was some real pretty singing. Our men are just deep and wonderful. We might walk away thinking, you know, I wish there had been more of this or less of that, or I really wish he had told some kind of story. But very, very few of us will go home today and wrestle honestly with that question, is my life bearing fruit? Will you be one of those few? Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to wrestle honestly. We don't like to do so. We like to hide behind the I'm okay, you're okay mantra. Break us of that today. And that in the wrestling we might see the places that need to be pruned. And that we might be reminded of what it is to abide in you. To be connected to the vine. To be a people of love. And Lord, our prayer is that yes, our lives would be doing something, not nothing. That we might bear fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able this morning, would you stand as we respond to God's word and message, as we sing, I need thee every hour, and Lord, I need you. Number 450 in your hymnals.
my one defense, my righteousness, O God.